Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. As a trial begins today in Texas to prevent the disenfranchisement of millions of voters in what is likely to be a test case to uphold the Historic Voting Rights Act of 1965, we'll begin with the brazen political purge of up to 800,000 eligible voters underway in the important swing state of Pennsylvania. The founder of the Keystone Poll, Dr. Terry Madonna, a professor of public affairs at Franklin and Marshall College, joins us to discuss how the Republican State House Majority Leader let the cat out of the bag when he said that the new law supposed to prevent voter fraud is, quoting him, gonna allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Then, following news of the LIBOR scandal that revealed the interbank rate for trillions in derivatives and billions in consumer loans has been rigged, we will get an analysis of how much global high finance is an inside job, a rigged casino that allows bankers and traders to legally rip off a gullible public and get away with what should be criminal, but for the fact that regulators and politicians have been bought off. The author of The Age of Greed, A Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America, 1970 to the Present, Jeff Madrick, joins us. Then finally, we'll speak with one of the organizers of a demonstration that took place yesterday on Long Island as Mitt Romney attended three lavish fundraisers at the estates of Revlon's Ron Perlman, then Clifford Sobel's estate, then finally a $50,000 per head, $75,000 per couple fundraiser at David Koch's estate. Lisa Tyson, the director of the Long Island Progressive Coalition, joins us to discuss protests that featured a banner flying overhead that read, Romney has a Coke problem, as well as a truck festooned with corporate logos with a plastic dog on the roof. Joining us now is Dr. Terry Madonna, professor of public affairs and director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin Marshall College, where he directs the Franklin Marshall College Poll. He has written extensively about voters and voting behavior and founded the Keystone Poll in 1992, the oldest survey produced exclusively in Pennsylvania, which was renamed the Franklin and Marshall College Poll. He is the pollster for the Philadelphia Daily News and many other newspapers and television stations in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Terry Madonna.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the Representative Mike Turze, the Republican House Majority Leader. Recently, I suppose he thought he was speaking in private, was he not, when he said the state's new voter law is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, excuse me for having a brief chuckle, because when you speak to a fairly large group, it was a Republican spring state committee meeting in which Republican officials, you know, Democrats and Republicans both have these in our state, many states. I don't know why anyone would think that would be private, given, you know, the social networking that goes on. And by the way, reporters were in attendance. So it's not as though the majority leader had any understanding that what he said would be private. It was clear as soon as he said it that it would literally go viral, you know, and make news all over, not just in Pennsylvania, but in the country on networks. And Stephen Colbert did a little piece on it. There is no doubt that was not something, you know, that could be kept under wraps.
Well, but it's significant because the Republicans have framed this new voter ID law as a way to prevent fraud. I mean, that's the way they've sold it to the public, right?
Well, that's the way they've been selling it in state after state after state. Yes, that's the way it was sold in Pennsylvania. There isn't any doubt about it. And there's another important element here, and that is that when the debate took place in the legislature through the late winter and spring. This was actually, I guess, still in late winter. It was not adopted until March, a couple of months ago, by the legislature, and then subsequently signed into law by Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett. The argument was made that, and the Republicans produced data from the Pennsylvania Department of State. That's the place where voting registration data is kept. And from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, that's the place where you get a voter light, you know, a driver's license, that in effect, there were maybe only 80 or 90,000 people, less than 100,000 people who could fall into this situation where they might be eligible to vote, but didn't have a valid driver's photo ID. Well, now we learned just recently, in fact, late last week, that the number is actually closer to 800,000 people that wouldn't qualify under a relatively restricted law. Now, Pennsylvania law says valid ID, and what does that mean? You could have a driver's license with a picture. If you're a college student with a picture, and there's something else there that we can talk about if you want that's a little unique. And if you're in a nursing home and you have, you know, a nursing home identification with your photo on it, that would be used as well. But beyond that, there's very little that you could use to satisfy a voter registrar that you are, in fact, eligible to vote in the state of Pennsylvania subsequent to the passage of the law.
So why is it then that you've mentioned, Terry Madonna, that this has happened across the country, and Indiana, of course, has passed a very restrictive voter law that requires photo IDs, and that's been upheld by the Supreme Court. Georgia has done the same. The Republican National Lawyers Association last year published a report, you know, they're just building a case for voter fraud. They published a report that identified only 400 election fraud prosecutions in over a decade country, which is not even one per state per year. So how have they gotten away with this nonsense, and why haven't the Democrats been able to make a case that of this brazen hypocrisy? This is not about voter fraud. This is about disenfranchising Democrats.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's start. First of all, these basically took place in the wake of the 2010 election, when Republicans gained these substantial majorities in state legislatures and won a large number of governorships that allowed them politically to be able to do it. Now, in all fairness, the Michigan governor, Rick Snyder, broke with the party and just recently vetoed a law that would have tightened Michigan's current voter ID law. And then, you know, there are at least five states that I'm aware of that in which Democratic governors have vetoed versions of their state ID laws: Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, and North Carolina. And then there are some other states, as you point out, led by Indiana, and now, of course, Texas, whose law is in the courts. And southern states fall into a different category, as you reported, because they are under the Voting Rights Act. They come under Justice Department regulation that other states don't have. So, I mean, I think it was the change in the political environment that took place in 2010 that permitted this. Now, I think we have to draw some distinctions here in all candor. I think we could all agree that every eligible voter ought to be permitted to vote, and no one who's not eligible ought not to be permitted to vote. The question is, in many states, whether the proof is so stringent that it does disenfranchise. It's not like Terry Madonna could walk into a voting booth and show a rent receipt, right? Which, you know, almost everybody would have, or some form of identification. Some of the laws, and Pennsylvania is modeled after the Indiana law, are very restrictive. And I think there is a big difference here between how restrictive you make this and whether you do impair people who otherwise, you know, would be able to vote and keep them from voting because you've got way too many restrictions. Let me give you another. I don't know how much time we have, but let me give you another.
Well, example. I just wanted to follow up on something you just said, and to get a sense of whether or not, in the 2010 election, when the Republicans gained a lot of state houses and legislatures, and in many of the top Republicans, Fred Barnes, writing in the Weekly Standard, said that if it wasn't for super PACs, then we wouldn't have done it. And of course, this time around, we got even more super PACs. Right. But what I find extraordinary is that the Republicans, if this is the case, that they were looking beyond just winning. This is a part of an overall strategy. Yeah. In other words, to make sure that they win even more next time, rather than get into office and offer new plans and new programs. Yeah. Their priority is to make sure that they can cut as many votes off the other side's other guy's side.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if you don't have to believe me or any other analyst, you can believe Terzai, as you point out, who was, by the way, one of the main sponsors and advocates for the Pennsylvania law. He just isn't a rank-and-file member of the Pennsylvania legislature. He's the Republican majority leader. He set this as a goal right from the beginning of the session, which, you know, began in 2011. So, and let me just point out one other limitation. Well, there are two that I think in Pennsylvania law that are kind of interesting. Let's say you're we're a big net importer of college students. Pennsylvania is. We have over 100 colleges and universities. So let's say you come from California, you come to Pennsylvania, and you're a student, and we all issue photo IDs. Just because you have a photo ID from a college or university doesn't necessarily permit you to vote under Pennsylvania law unless it has an expiration date on it. So that means that colleges, about 80% of the colleges and universities, have to do one of two things. They have to issue new IDs and or put stickers that have expiration dates. And the law was sold also on the basis that this would be relatively almost no cost to anyone. Well, it's going to cost college and universities money to redo all these voter ID laws, you know, these photo ID cards. Now let me go to another exemption. There's an exemption in Pennsylvania law that if you have a religious, you can get a religious exemption for reasons of conscience, religious, okay? But the fact of the matter is that almost no one is going to apply for it, because you have to answer 18 questions if you want to get a religious exemption. And the questions are things like this. What is your, how many people are in your congregation? What is your religious belief? Now, who's going to fill out an application in which they tell people how many congregants or people in their congregation, what's your religious belief? Nobody's going to do that. So the point I'm trying to make about the Pennsylvania law, and again, I'm not personally opposed to some reasonable ID, but most of us have concluded, most analysts, independent analysts, and I'm independent, I don't do party work or candidates, look at this and say, this is way too restrictive. And as you point out, in my state, for example, there's almost no evidence that that kind of fraud has come into play in the past. There are other kinds of fraud, but not that kind of fraud.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Terry Madonna, Professor of Public Affairs and Director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College, where he directs the Franklin and Marshall College poll, and he's the founder of the Keystone Poll, with the oldest survey produced exclusively in Pennsylvania, and is a pollster for the Philadelphia Daily News and many other newspapers and television stations in Pennsylvania. Well, as bad as what you've told us is about the new Pennsylvania law, the Texas law that's the trial has just begun. It's pretty brazen because, for example, community college IDs are not accepted, photo IDs, and we know a lot of minority kids go to community colleges. Yeah. At the same time, gun ownership, your license to have a handgun is a valid ID. You can't help seeing a little bit of bias there.
Well, what you need to do is to have a bunch of quote politically neutral, an ideologically neutral test if you want to require them. And again, I just think if the point is to prevent fraud, right? If that's really what you want to do, then why have such restricted, stringent requirements? That's my point. And by the way, in many places, when you go to vote, the registrars or the folks who work in the voting booths have a good sense about who many of the voters are. So let's say you go into a voting booth and they know you. They know you live here because you voted for the past 20 years. If you don't have a valid ID, many states, and Pennsylvania is one, will allow you to cast a provisional vote. And then you've got to go get one of these valid IDs within a limited period of time in order for your vote to count, in order for it to be counted. So again, if somebody knows you and you live in this, they've been voting there for 20 years, you walk in and you say, oh, by the way, I don't have whatever it is that they say you need, let's say a driver's license for whatever reason, you're going to be denied the right to vote. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me on any level. And again, it's not a question of fraud. I think we all ought to understand that fraud's wrong. We need to pursue people who try to vote fraudulently. But the question is whether that kind of these kind of voter ID laws prevent that. When there has not been much of the voter fraud is not done in that way. You know, is not participated in that in the way in which these laws are designed to stop. That's another problem with them.
Sure, but you know, combined with the questions that you've raised and the statement by the House Majority Leader, Republican Representative Mike Terzai, it's not difficult to conclude that this is really about
A political advantage for one party, and particularly in the upcoming presidential election.
In the most key swing state.
Well, we're one of the big. That's right. We have the second largest electoral vote of the big swing states. Florida has 29, Pennsylvania has 20, Ohio has 18 of the 120 electoral votes in the swing states. We're certainly, we have the second largest number, and it looks like a lot of money is already being spent on about $8.5 million spent on television and Pennsylvania and for commercials right now, so we're going to be another battleground as we have been for the last two decades.
Well, just in closing, then, Dr. Terry Madonna, what's happening with the Justice Department? We know that that the Attorney General was just censured or held in contempt by the Congress, which again was rather flagrant and political. Some people think
in our state, what's going on is that there's multiple lawsuits that have been filed in state court, and I think by the ACLU, by the NAACP, by Democratic Party folks, I think what they're looking for is to get the law enjoined. In other words, to have it not go into effect. And this week, just I think today, 100 organizations representing a variety of people, a variety of groups, not all liberal, have asked to asked the governor to put the law on hold, to do something not to put the law into effect right now. And the governor said, no, he's not going to do that. So unless it gets enjoined in a court, in the law, in other words, saying, well, we're going to not allow the law to be enforced for this election, it will be enforced. Now, lots of activity around getting people to understand how they can qualify. And in all fairness to some Republicans, they are similarly trying to do that. So, but make no mistake about it, it's hugely controversial in this state, very controversial.
And up to 800,000 people who have previously voted will not be able to vote unless they somehow can meet these stringent standards.
Yeah, these are people on voter registration lists. That's correct. Now, some of them, because you can't get people's names off the rolls under Help America Vote Act, for 3 or 4 years may not have voted. But however we want to parse it, and if it's 700 or 600, the real fact is that there's a huge number of people. We can argue about the number, but we can't argue that there's a huge number of people involved.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us, Dr.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Terry Madonna, Professor of Public Affairs and Director of the Center for Politics and Public Affairs at Franklin and Marshall College, where he directs the Franklin and Marshall College poll. He has written extensively about voters and voting behavior and founded the Keystone Poll in 1992, the oldest survey produced exclusively in Pennsylvania, which was renamed the Franklin and Marshall College poll. He is the pollster for the Philadelphia Daily News and many other newspapers and television stations in Pennsylvania. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about how deep the core of corruption is in the banking industry that affects all of our lives.
'cause I ain't gonna let them steal the election. No, we ain't gonna let them steal the election. Is that the right ID there in your wallet? So they give you a provisional ballot. I'm sorry, but your name is...